Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God that engages us is a section of that Old Testament lesson just read, specifically Exodus 17, verse 6. Strike the rock, and water will come from it for the people to drink. Kids are camels. I realized this in new and profound ways when we had Abby Joy, Jonathan Curtis, and Lori Beth Lessing. These kids could, even on a hot Oklahoma summer day, play all morning, play all afternoon, and play even into the early evening and never need a drink of water. Thirsty yet? No way, Dad! Miles and miles they go. When offered water, they say no. Until their little angelic heads hit the pillow. Then it all begins. I can still remember our firstborn. Daddy, I need a dink. Dink, the missus and I would muse. How charming, how entertaining. Abby, now 19, but at age 3, dink had a nice, entertaining, even intelligent sound to it. That is until 8 o'clock became 8:45. And 8:45 became 9:30. And one evening, feeling more like a mighty Hebrew prophet confronting a wayward Judean king than a caring shepherd of tender sheep, I blurted out, "Abby, the next time you ask for a drink, I'll spank you." There, I thought, this will bring peace and quiet to the Western Front. But then the golden silence was broken. There, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Daddy, when you come and spank me, please bring me a dink." Imagine adding to that noise thousands of other voices who are saying, "Tenu lanu mayim." Venishta, loosely translated, "Moses, when you come and rebuke us, bring us water to dink." Israel had grown accustomed to an abundance of water. Living in the eastern Nile Delta, water was everywhere. In fact, it was so abundant their liturgy included eating leeks and onions by the Nile. Oh, what breath! But dining out in style. Even when they leave Egypt, they have no problems with water. Need it to form into pillars and walls? No problem. Need it to come crashing down on Pharaoh's chariots and horses? Easy as pie. In fact, even at Exodus 15, when they are confronted by bitter water, Moses throws a stick into the putrid pool, and presto, instant, purified water. But not so fast in Exodus 17. Here we are told the people are thirsty and they have no water to drink. But have no fear, Moses is here. And if anyone deserves the title, the wonderful wizard of waterworks, it is Moses. Why, as a little infant, he was placed into water for safety and drawn out for salvation. As a young buck, his soon-to-be wife Zipporah describes Moses in Exodus 2 as a dalo dala. Oh my, Hebrew heaven. An infinitive absolute functioning as an adverbial modifier of a finite verb. What's it mean? Loosely translated, when it comes to drawing water, Moses is a lean, mean, green aqua machine. But not at Rephidim. Oh, at Rephidim, Moses doesn't know what to do. The people begin to grumble against him and strike out against their God. This combination of thirst and heat is causing cramps in their legs and arms. They're also experiencing dizziness and excessive sweating and headaches and pale, moist, clammy skin. These parched people are ready to stone Moses to death at Rephidim. Now, where's Rephidim? Good question. Great question, but no one knows. All scholars can say is that Rephidim is dependent upon the location of Mount Sinai. And locating Mount Sinai is about as easy as identifying a Niphal participle. Get it? It's impossible. So some scholars say Rephidim is Wadi Rephaid. Others, Wadi Pharion. No one really knows. But you know the exact location of Rephidim. So do I. Rephidim is that burned out place in our lives where our fears are too many to manage. Our doubts are too many to count. Our loneliness is too heavy to bear. Rephidim is that place in our relationships where they are dehydrated and dry and almost dead. Some seminarians have even spotted Rephidim in the woods where the wife is upset and the kids can't connect. And people are wondering why they sold the farm and moved to St. Louis. And we've all seen Rephidim in every church. It's that dry, dusty place where, try as we might, it still remains a desert. Miles and miles we go. When offered water, we say pridefully, no, until we camp at Rephidim. At Rephidim, we echo the words of Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. At my Rephidim, I echo the anguish of Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My spirit longs for you. My body thirsts for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And even here, if we feel no effects of cramps in our legs and arms, if there isn't excessive sweating or dizziness or mental confusion or pale, moist, clammy skin, we know the effects of thirst. We grumble and complain about one another. We pick up rocks ready to stone those we live with, and we lash out against our God. Well, what else can we do? We say in exasperation. It's the only option, right? I guess so. But I guess we might today get a staff. Maybe that's it. Maybe we could get a staff. But you see, it can't be any ordinary, run-of-the-mill, Walmart kind of staff. We need the staff. You remember, right? The staff that turns from stick to snake. The staff that touched the mighty Nile and turned its waters into blood. The staff that Moses raised at Yom Suf and the people walked through on dry ground. Get this staff. Strike the rock. And water will come from it for the people to drink. And he did. And it flowed. And they lived. But just don't ask Moses on this one. Ask Matthew. He writes, "So they took a staff and put it in his right hand. And they knelt down and they began to mock him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they took the staff and they beat him on the head over and over again. For this Jesus, any old staff will do. Any stick that remotely looks like a king's scepter. Any stick that won't break if it's repeatedly beaten against someone's head. And make sure there's another stick that can be carved with a pointed edge and tip. Because finally, this rock has to be split and opened up. John was there." And he says, "Then a soldier took a spear and pierced Jesus' side, and there was a sudden flow of blood and water. Water gushing from the one whose lips had been parched and cracked. Water flooding from the one whose body had been blistered and burned under the hot Palestinian sun. Water flowing from the one who said, 'Dipso, I thirst.' Strike the rock, and water will come from it for the people to drink." And they did. And it flows, and we live. Oh my. We were meant to live for so much more. Isaiah talks about this river. He likens it to a summer rain after a long drought. And in chapter 35, the dry deserts will form into pools, and the burning sand into bubbling springs. Ezekiel talks about this river. He says, quote, "Wherever it flows, everything will live." And Joel is beside himself. After the locust plague, he says, "The ravines of Judah will run with water, and a fountain will flow from Yahweh's temple." Miles and miles we go. When offered this water, all too often you and I say no. All this changes at Rephidim. Come to the rock, split and crushed, yet alive forevermore. Watch his river flood your baptismal font again, forgiving your filth, defeating your death, and quenching your thirst. And then, in the immortal words of Augustus Toplady, thank, praise, serve, and obey the rock of ages cleft for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.